This is Backseat Box Office, episode number 331, for the weekend of September 28th through September 30th. Hey, this is Jeff.
And this is Art.
And I forgot what to say. Oh, we are the Backseat Producers, and you are listening to Backseat Box Office. This podcast where we talk about movies, TV, and other stuff that we feel like. Art, how's it going over there?
It's going all right. Allergies have been bothering me a little bit, so my eyes are a little itchy. My throat is a little... you might hear me sniff a little during the podcast. But other than that, I'm doing okay.
All right. Well, yeah, sorry to hear that that's getting the better of you. And so, speaking of sharing, not really, but I just screwed up that segue. All right. So, very awkwardly, we will move over to the first segment of the show where we talk about what came out at the theater last week and how the box office did. Boy, I am just terrible. Okay. So, Jeff is going to tell us, that's me, how the movies did at the box office last week. So, without further ado, for the weekend of September 21st through September 23rd, here's your top five. At number one, new release, The House with a Clock in Its Walls, came in at $26.6 million. At number two, in its second week of release, we had A Simple Favor for $10.3 million. At number three, we had The Nun, which had about, we're going to approximate $10 million. I don't want to do that complicated rounding. And that was number three. At number four, we had The Predator in its second week of release at $9.2 million. By the way, The Nun was in its third week release. And we're going to drop down to five, Crazy Rich Asians, which came in at, we're going to say $6.4 million. And that was in its sixth week of release. And it's up to $159 million. So
yeah.
Good on them. Art,
no
anything
doubt.
Anything to say?
The Nun crossing the $100 million mark on a $22 million budget in 3 weeks. That's impressive. The Crazy Rich Asians bounced back. Last week they dropped 45%. They only dropped 27% this week.
Mm-hmm.
So they're also crushing it. They stayed in their same position. So last week they were number five. This week they're number five, staying in the top five. Yeah, it's overall not a bad week, an interesting week. Brittany wants to go see The House with a Clock in Its Walls, so hopefully we'll get to do that at some point this coming weekend.
Yeah, I tried to talk Jason into seeing that, Jason, my 15-year-old son, but he just wasn't that interested.
Hmm.
And one movie to note is at number 11, Life Itself, which is an Amazon movie that came out in the theater, did terribly from what they were expecting. So
yeah.
$2.1 million on 2,609 screens, so that's $814 per screen. I think it comes from Dan Fogelman, who I guess is the creative mind behind This Is Us.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
maybe it doesn't translate to the screen, or maybe Amazon is not the right studio for them to go with. But, you know, kind of too late now. So it's interesting that not only Netflix is bringing movies out to the theater, but Amazon is as well.
Yeah, I saw an article on his responding to the critics, and I ended up just passing on it because I feel like it's just going to be somebody spewing their sour grapes because their movie didn't do well. And, you know, one of those things, again, where it's like the critics panned it, and so now it's doing badly. And it just doesn't seem to be the way it works.
Hmm. Interesting. Interesting. Okay. So that's going to end the first segment where we talk about what happened at the box office last week. So now let's move on to segment number two, where we're going to talk about what's coming out in the theater this weekend. So Art's going to tell you about one, then I'm going to tell you about the second one. So Art, go ahead and tell us about the first one.
Okay, first up we have Smallfoot. It is 75% fresh on the tomato meter. 51 reviews counted, 38 fresh, 13 rotten. 89% want to see it with a paltry 255 user ratings. Wow, that is a small number. Okay, so an animated feature for all ages with original music and an all-star cast, Smallfoot turns the Bigfoot legend upside down when a bright young Yeti, I almost said Jedi, finds something
you know thought, you wanted to.
I surely did. Find something he thought didn't exist, a human. News of the Smallfoot throws the simple Yeti community into an uproar over what else might be out there in the big world beyond their snowy village, in an all-new story about friendship, courage, and the joy of discovery. Rated PG for some action, rude humor, and thematic elements. Genre is action, adventure, animation, comedy, kids and family. Directed by Carrie Kirkpatrick. Written by John Requa, Carrie Kirkpatrick, and Glenn Ficarra. Runtime 109 minutes. We have Channing Tatum, Zendaya, Danny DeVito, LeBron James, Common, Gina Rodriguez, Patricia Heaton,
Yara Shahidi from Blackish.
Oh, okay.
And James Corden. I think you skipped over.
I don't know who James Corden is.
Late night host. Nope. You probably. He has a
I don't watch TV.
You don't watch TV. Okay. That's going to make share time is going to be awfully short then.
I don't watch live television where things like talk show hosts get most of their airtime. How's that? Well, is that a better statement?
All right. Okay. Time out for a second.
Sure.
Because his most famous thing that he does is carpool karaoke, which you can watch, I don't know, on YouTube. So okay. you might want to check it out once in a while.
Carpool karaoke. Yeah,
they basically just drive around and they sing to whoever's songs in the car. So he's had Madonna in there. He's had Bruno Mars, Red Hot Chili Peppers. He recently did one with Paul McCartney.
Okay.
So that's pretty much his big thing. I'll have to send you a link for the Avengers tour.
Carpool karaoke seems like the next step beyond Cash Cab.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not a game show, but
no. But yeah. I mean, it's filmed in a vehicle, kind of a thing.
But celebrities, man, celebrities are just
sure.
All right. So enough about James Corden. And we did not receive any remuneration for that little piece there. Okay. So going to the theater to see this?
Maybe. Aubrey wants to see it. I don't know. It all depends on how the weekend works out. I'd like to see it. I think I convinced the family.
By looking through some of the blurbs at the, at the bottom, we look at Rotten Tomatoes. I do believe it's a musical.
Oh.
So, Minow from Movie Mom. In between its colorful musical numbers, silly jokes, and action scenes, somehow manages to address some pretty big and complex issues in an accessible and nuanced way. That would be a fresh review, and that would give you a B+.
Interesting. Yeah, I've been hit with a couple of surprise musicals lately, where they don't tell you it's a musical, and the trailers don't show it, and then you get in the middle of it, like, wait a minute, this is a musical. That means Aubrey's going to absolutely hate it, and I'm going to love it.
Okay, so we're gonna look over at hipster film buffs. Oh, I'm sorry, Cinema Blend, an animated blunder An animated blunder that take what you could have easily been another Storks style win for Warner Animation Group and turns it into a disposable kids movie that goes through the motions. That's a rotten for 2 out of 5. And then Oliver Jones from The Observer, who's a top critic. Hollywood Animation, Your Rut is showing. 1 out of 4.
Wow, those are rough.
Going a limb. Oh, and the real reviews, real being 2.5 out of 4. A think-for-yourself message makes this somewhat contrived kids movie worth watching. So there might be a sleeper hit on our hands there, guys.
Yeah.
All right. So I am going to go to the next movie, which isn't animated and has no Yetis or Jedis. But the movie is called Night School, currently 24% on the tomato meter. Out of 58 reviews, 14 fresh and 44 rotten, and a big whopping 391 Rotten Tomatoes users have told us that 85% of those want to see it. So here's your description. Star Kevin Hart and producer Will Packer, who partnered for the hit Ride Along and Think Like a Man series, bring their signature style to Night School. The comedy from director Malcolm D. Lee, Girls Trip, follows a group of misfits who are forced to attend adult classes in the long shot chance they'll pass the GED exam. Wow, they're going to mention the director and the producer, but no mention the female lead, which happens to be Tiffany Haddish, who I enjoy her very much. I think she's funny. All right, so your rating is PG-13 for crude and sexual content throughout, language, and some drug references and violence. Oh, yeah, genres comedy. Directed by Malcolm D. Lee. Written by, hold on, guys, Kevin Hart, Harry Ratchford, Joey Wells, Nicholas Stoller, John Hamburg, and Matthew Kellard. This is going to cost you 111 minutes. And we have Kevin Hart, Tiffany Haddish, Rob Riggle, Taron Killam, Roman E. Malco, if you remember, he was in 40-Year-Old Virgin. And Mary Lynn Raskob. Also, Keith David, and a bunch of other people I don't know.
Yep,
same. So, yeah, there. Night School. Oh, boy. Whole lot of green, folks. Whole lot of green. So, from Sarah Ty Black from Globe and Mail, Haddish is given little to work with, a fact that is almost criminal considering how her rising star power over the past year is almost entirely indebted to her charisma and disarming slapstick style. 2 out of 4 stars. Anything stick out to you?
Here's another one who thinks that, you know, the actors are there, but it's just not happening. For all her improvisational skill and that of her top-billed co-star, the much-vaunted Hart and Haddish pairing never pays dividends. It feels more like half and half. And that's Justin Chang, top critic, and it does not have a rating.
Interesting. All right, so that's going to conclude our look for, or are at, not for, what's going to be at the movie theater this weekend. And so now we're going to move on to our third segment, which is Share Time. This is where Art and myself talk about what we've been up to. And since we didn't have a show last week, this will cover 2 weeks. But first, we have a voicemail from, I almost said Tad, but we have a voicemail from Richard. So we have some new blood people. So listen to what Richard has to say. So take it away, Richard.
Hey, Backseat Producers. This one's for Jeff and Art. It's been a while since I've been meaning to call in, but I'm going to try to call in more frequently. Really like the fact that Jeff and Art have been doing the podcast more frequently as well. I have a pretty long commute, so I go through an assortment of podcasts, and that's the only one I get all my movie news about. So there's a few things I wanted to touch base on. Initial feedback is, for some reason with your podcast, it seems to be lower sound, and so I always kind of have to crank up my car's volume whenever I switch over to your podcast, and then vice versa when I switch over to another podcast because it's so loud. Always love the attempts that Art tries with the Asian names and Asian actors. Brief thing was, I think Crazy Rich Asians for me, since I am Asian. I've heard a lot about, there was a lot of buzz, saw it with my girlfriend, was a pretty good movie, but to be honest, I thought it was a little long. I don't think anyone should be winning Oscars for it, but it was a good movie. I think it's worth watching. And there was one thing I was going to mention. Pretty upset with MoviePass. We went ahead and got our refund since we bought an annual subscription via Costco. So Costco gave us half of all her money back, which was really nice. And because my girlfriend really wanted to see a movie, we decided to sign up for AMC's movie deal, which is actually $20 a month, and you get to see up to 3 movies every week. And no restrictions on IMAX or Dolby theaters. And since our favorite movie theater is AMC in Addison in Texas, so it's been really good so far. So we'll see how long we actually keep that going, but still really happy that I got a refund. So let us know if you have any good recommendations for comedies. That's a big favorite for the girlfriend. So, yeah, have a good one, guys. Bye.
All right. Thank you very much for that. Thank you for the feedback. I'm glad that you're enjoying our new segments, and maybe I'll see what I can do to kind of boost the signal if you get your reference. So anything you
I'm sure
to add,
he
doesn't. Art?
I'm sure he does not get the reference, but neither here nor there. He'll tell me later whether or not he did or didn't.
Come on, don't pigeonhole me. Come on.
No, Richard doesn't like space. But anyway, Peppermint and Crazy Rich Asians, both movies I wanted to see, both movies I didn't get to see. Spoiler for my share time. I canceled my movie pass. It just wasn't worth it anymore. It's just a sinking ship. I'm glad he got as much back as he did, being as he signed up for a year when he signed up. I was just doing month to month. Our other buddy was month to month as well. They've both switched over to the AMC pass, which he talked about. I'm considering it, but in the end, I probably just don't get to the movies often enough, at that price point. So I don't know. You know, when it was $10 and, you know, all I had to do was go to two movies, then it was fine. And I made it work. But this way I'd rather just, I'll just, and a lot of times I went to matinees. So that's another reason why I'm like, meh. Because I often go when, you know, Brittany's working, Aubrey's at school, and I've got some time. So I'll just do it during the day. So it'll be interesting. I'll keep tabs on them. Whether Richard calls in or not, I'll keep asking him about how they're enjoying the AMC deal.
Yeah, I hope he does. We always like to hear from our listeners.
So, yeah, absolutely.
So now that we're done with voicemails, Art, you can tell us about what you've been up to.
Okay, so
or
like
not
I said,
been up to. Go ahead.
Not been up to. Yeah, I did not watch any movies. I did. I have watched
on the floor. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, it happens. That happens plenty. I don't know. That's not a shocking thing. Yeah. So I have watched more Forged in Fire. I'm still enjoying that. So anybody else who's interested in watching a competition show where they make knives and swords, I find it utterly amazing. I finally watched an episode where they had some women on, and that was great. They did some team stuff. It's really interesting, and I find it completely fascinating. So I will continue to watch that. I watched a couple of new cartoons to watch with Aubrey. One is called Hilda, Netflix original. It has this really nice, quirky, I don't know how to describe it, but it's this little girl who kind of lives out in the forest, and it's this fantastical world. It's not our world. There are elves and floating puffballs, and her little pet is a reindeer fox or a deer fox, and mountain giants, and just all these fantastical creatures that she interacts with, trolls that turn into stone during the day and they're active during the night, and it's just all about her little adventures around. The art style is fantastic. There's a simple elegance to it, the sense of wonder that the show brings about. I saw it on Netflix. I started an episode with Aubrey, and she was immediately hooked. It really spoke to her, this small girl running around in the wild. So Hilda, Netflix original, really enjoying that. There's another one I jumped onto called Dragon Pilots. It's an anime, and it's really kind of weird. The premise is that it's set in our world, but dragons are real, and they keep dragons a secret from most people by hiding them. You know, whether it be like when you see the like in ancient Chinese history when they had the giant war kites. That wasn't a war kite. That was a dragon disguised as a war kite, you know, or the, you know, the parade festivals with the dragons marching down the street. Well, that wasn't a bunch of people in a costume. That was a dragon hiding. Well, now they hide dragons as transformable jet fighters, and it's really kind of weird. And the person pilots the dragon from being swallowed inside the dragon. And it's really just kind of bizarre. I'm only a couple of episodes in. I don't know how much further I'm going to go with that one. Not as interesting. I just checked it out because it kind of seemed interesting based on the description. But that one's not kind of panning out as much. I have gone back and restarted Jessica Jones Season 2. With the intention of getting all caught up. Because at this point, there's season 2 of Jessica Jones, season 2 of Luke Cage. Is there another season of Iron Fist that just dropped? Mm-hmm. So I'm like 3 shows behind. Am I missing something?
And then preview to the news, Daredevil is October 19th.
Okay, so there's another one coming up just around the corner. So yeah, so I am very far behind, and I need to get around to that. And so I'm actively working on getting caught up with that. Because they're all that, I really haven't been disappointed with anything I've watched. I've just gotten busy and allowed it to fall by the wayside. So I'm putting an end to that, and I'm focusing on getting caught up. The other thing, oh, and then I watched the trailer that just dropped for Dark Phoenix. Mm-hmm. So that looks really good. I like the direction that looks like it's going. And that, sir, will wrap up my share time.
Oh, boy. Okay, so since you ended on trailers, I'll start with trailers. Did you see Captain Marvel trailer?
Yes, I did see that one.
Thoughts?
I think it looks good. I mean, it's not anything surprising. It's not. It looks good. It really didn't light my fire. The Dark Phoenix looks really interesting. But I know a lot more about the Dark Phoenix storyline. The Shazam trailer just knocked it out of the park. So I, in comparison to those two, I wasn't as excited about it, but it does look good. So I'm waiting with anticipation to see more.
Is she, or is Captain Marvel the most obscure Marvel movie?
By comparison to what? Do you think it's the most obscure one we're going to get? Do you think it's
I think
so far
at this point in time?
I think it would be a toss up between Captain Marvel and Guardians.
Yeah, Guardians was going to be the other one that I was going to say, but
I mean, really, it depends on the person. I mean, because I think I most casual people, I could have asked them who Deadpool was, who Ant-Man was, who the Guardians of the Galaxy are, who Captain Marvel is, who Shazam is. They wouldn't have known any of these people. So it's a hard thing to judge. Either you're into comics and you know about a lot of stuff, or you're not into comics and you don't know about any of it.
Well, I was kind of talking about Marvel, but you know, I think before this whole MCU business started, I really didn't know anything about Captain Marvel. I didn't know anything about Guardians.
Right.
But I think every other one I knew a little bit about them just because of, you know, I knew they were Avenger at one point.
Right. Okay.
Kind of thing. All right, so I was just curious and kind of foreshadowing a little bit because Captain Marvel's going on one of my news stories. Okay, so I ended up watching 3 movies and an entire series of a television show that's on live. And actually, season 3 starts tonight. So I'm going to start with that. I ended up watching season 2 of The Good Place.
Okay.
I really, really like this show. It kind of, I don't think it was good as season 1 because the cat kind of got out of the bag during season 1. And then season 2 was they're trying to figure out how are they going to keep going based on the cat getting out of the bag. And some of the roles of some of the characters kind of change a little bit. I mean, really Ted Danson's role. But it really kind of grabbed me that they were going somewhere interesting. I mean, it is absurd. I mean, you know, you can't be watching this and saying, oh, this could really, really happen. But I, you know, Janet is still the best thing about this show, and the Chidi, the philosophy professor, I mean, they do a really good job of interjecting different philosophical points of view. And I don't know how people that are like philosophy majors, I don't know how they don't go insane. but this show is really, I mean, for me, if you love sitcoms, this isn't really a sitcom, but it is really funny, and there is a little bit of drama. But you can catch season one and season two on Netflix right now, and season three, the premiere, just started tonight. And I have no idea. I have no idea where they're going. No idea. And that might make for a totally bad show. Might make for a good show. And for those people that tend to focus on stars, this is the show that has Ted Danson and Kristen Bell are the two that you will recognize. And I'm loving it. And I think you should check it out. Okay, so that was the TV that I've been watching, even though I didn't watch it live, so I guess I'm more like Art than I'm willing to admit. But I ended up watching three movies also on Netflix.
Oh, my goodness.
So the first one I ended up watching against my will because my daughter said, let's watch a movie, and I said, okay. And so this is Sierra Burgess is a Loser. So this stars Shannon Purser from Stranger Things, and it seems like that one of their marketing strategies for Netflix is let's have a bunch of John Hughes-type romantic comedies, but let's update them a little bit. And so the story is basically the Cyrano de Bergerac story. She really likes this guy, and some events happen where they end up talking, but he doesn't know it's her. He thinks it's the captain of the cheerleaders type thing, and she's a terrible dead inside person, and they become friends, and it's a whole thing, a mistaken identity, and they screw someone over at the end. Her parents, Alan Ruck, is it? Cameron, okay. Cameron from
right.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off. And then mom is Mom McFly from Back to the Future, Leia Thompson.
Okay.
So this is very interesting, almost like Hollywood power couple, almost, if you want to think of it that way. I mean, kind of like cult film power couple, if you want to think of it that way. To be honest, after the movie is over, it is really a mediocre type film. I do have to throw in, though, a friend of mine that I used to work with, his sister still works with me at the city. And so I was talking to her because she watches Netflix all the time. And so I said, hey, did you see this Sierra Burgess thing? He said, oh my God, I hated that movie. So much so that as soon as it was over, I had to go onto my WordPress and write an article on specifically how I hated and how I hated this movie and how bad it was. And I was like, wow. And I was walking away thinking, you know what? I host a movie podcast, and I've never, like, right after a movie ends, either have to sit down and write out whether how much I loved it or how much I hated it. So, I'm not going to falter for strong opinions, but it's, your mileage may vary is basically all I'm saying. But I thought it was kind of mediocre. I do like Shannon Purser. I think she's the best thing about this movie, my daughter was hooked on, because it's the guy, the same male actor that was in To All the Boys I Loved Before. And so he's like the it guy when it comes to romantic comedies or whatever.
Okay.
So I mean, I didn't think it was terrible, I kind of did get an uneasy feeling that maybe some of these things might not really happen. But it's a movie. What are you gonna do? All right. So let's move away from romantic comedies and let's move over to a sci-fi movie. And you know what? I don't know. Someone is probably losing their crap right now because I called this movie a science fiction movie. But I finally got around to seeing a Netflix original production that starring Will Smith. So I finally got around to watching Bright.
Okay.
I enjoyed this movie. I enjoyed it on a level that's the same guy who did End of Watch. And to me, it was like End of Watch with a monster manual as source material.
Yeah.
Will Smith did not knock my socks off. And mainly, I think it's the writing. I don't know if I I mean, because I saw what he did for Suicide Squad. So it's David Ayer, same guy who wrote and directed the Suicide Squad movie. Yeah, picked up on that spot. I did greatly enjoy Joel Edgerton, who played the orc, Nick.
Mm-hmm.
A couple things that kind of took me out of the movie was they kind of throw out that there's a Department of Magical Enforcement that really doesn't do anything during this entire movie. They basically just hang around.
They're constantly chasing after anybody. They're just not making any headway.
Yeah. I was a little disappointed about that.
Yeah.
I think the comic bits in this movie, for the most part, work. There's some that fall flat a little bit. And just like all the Enchantress stuff in Suicide Squad, the magic rules like completely fall apart at certain points in this movie.
Yeah.
And for a minor spoiler, for having someone that is just learning how to use their powers, being able to do like a top level spell in D&D was kind of uncool.
Yeah.
And if you've seen the movie, you know what I'm talking about. I'm being a little vague.
It's pretty old at this point, but okay.
So, and you know, as far as the writing, it was Max Landis, son of the famous John Landis, who's, you know, I was just disappointed that he ended up selling the script for $3.5 million. Wow. He also did World War Z. I don't know if I'm a big fan of his writing. You know, there were chunks in here of a very interesting world. I didn't think they lived up to their potential, kind of thing. I'm excited for a Bright 2. Maybe bring in some different people, different writer, different director. Because I really want a TV show of this.
No.
Hmm?
I said yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Thumbs up for Bright. Thumbs up for Bright. Okay, the last movie I ended up watching, a former Best Picture winner. And I forgot that this has been on my queue for like the last year. But I ended up watching Spotlight. So Spotlight won, I think, 3 years ago, maybe two. This is the drama about the Boston Globe team, Spotlight, that ended up doing the exposure piece on the Catholic Church in Boston, starring Michael Keaton, Rachel McAdams, Mark Ruffalo, Stanley Tucci, among other people. I was engrossed in this movie. And there was kind of a hidden level of enjoyment for me because I went to Boston for the first time 2 years ago, and seeing all the landmarks that they hit while telling the story was like, it was really neat to watch. Obviously they dramatize some things, and I just wonder, how much, I mean, it's probably mostly true or 95% true, but I just always like to know what, the things that they embellish type thing. This is kind of a little spoiler, right in the middle of this investigation as it gets going, 9/11 happens, kind of thing. And, being a big East Coast newspaper when that happens, it's kind of, it's a good reminder of where we've been. But highly, probably more than any other movie I watched, a highly recommended Spotlight. So I ended up not planning to watch a lot of movies this weekend, but my game day fell through, so I ended up watching some stuff. So, Good Place, Season 2, Sierra Burgess is a Loser, why can't I say that? Bright with Will Smith, and then Spotlight with Michael Keaton and Mark Ruffalo. All right, so that's going to do it for our share time, and now let's move over to news. So, Art, what do you have for the class?
All right, so first up, the Hellboy reboot delayed 3 months. Lionsgate has delayed its upcoming Hellboy reboot by 3 months, pushing it back from January 11th to an April 2019 release. No. The move is not unexpected, considering the film has yet to release any publicity material beyond two in-production photos of David Harbour in character. It now opens 1 week after Shazam and opposite Robert Downey Jr.'s Dr. Dolittle remake. Yeah, it makes me very sad to gotta wait 3 extra months for Hellboy.
Yeah, that's too bad. All right. My first story, I kind of talked about earlier in this episode, is this is from Forbes, I believe. Yes, Forbes. And it's kind of box office related, but it's talking about Captain Marvel is being set up to fail. Okay, so it kind of starts that, you know, Warner Brothers, they announced that their untitled Birds of Prey movie is going to be coming out February 7th, 2020. That pits it against Sony's Peter Rabbit 2, and 1 week before the entitled James Bond 25. Amusingly enough, James Bond 25 was initially slated to open 1 week after Wonder Woman, but it will now open after Birds of Prey. We don't know what's gonna be coming with this Birds of Prey movie. But coming down the pike, we have Captain Marvel, Wonder Woman 1984, Birds of Prey, and rumors about a Black Widow movie. And so it's not going to be exclusive, mind you, but there's going to be a lot of female-driven superhero movies that are going to be coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, expectations are going to be high because of Wonder Woman.
Right.
So everyone's kind of expecting, like CNBC ran a post the other day saying that Captain Marvel is going to be Marvel's next billion-dollar star.
Whoa, that is quite a claim.
Well, I mean, was Wonder Woman a great movie?
I think Wonder Woman was a great movie.
The ending kind of killed it for me.
Okay.
So I think it was very good, but I wouldn't call it, you know, great. But it still made a bucket load of money.
I think by comparison, it was a great movie. When you compare it to the other female-led superhero movies, it was a great movie. When you compare it to the other stuff DC has released, Man of Steel and Batman vs. Superman, I think it was a great movie. So maybe on par it wasn't as good as I think it was, but when you put it up against the things that it's being most closely compared to, I think it was a very good movie.
Yeah, so he kind of goes on to say that people could be disappointed because it might not make Wonder Woman type money.
Okay.
Or it could. You know, it says here, Captain Marvel will have to contend with potentially heavier competition. No, I don't think the Lego Movie 2 or X-Men : Dark Phoenix will pull a Black Panther and steamroll the competition well into April. But the Brie Larson superhero flick opens right between DreamWorks' animations How to Train Your Dragon 3 and Jordan Peele's Us, while having just 3 weeks before Walt Disney's Tim Burton-directed Dumbo movie, and a month before Shazam. Point being, if the February and March flicks are good, then Captain Marvel becomes less of an event. Beauty and the Beast stood out in an otherwise action movie-filled March to earn $504 million domestic and $1.2 billion worldwide. Beauty and the Beast was a fairy tale musical and a bunch of action movies, or amid a bunch of action movies, while Captain Marvel is the only big action flick between Dark Phoenix and Shazam. So Captain Marvel could pull in $1 billion global. However, just because Wonder Woman earned $821 million and Black Panther earned $1.345 billion doesn't mean that Captain Marvel is going to outgross Homecoming, $881, or Thor Ragnarok, $854. Here's another thing to remember. Wonder Woman didn't succeed on the scale that it did specifically because audiences raced out to support female-led action movies. It succeeded because people wanted to see Wonder Woman.
Right.
If audiences supported female-led action movies on principle, then the likes of Tomb Raider, Atomic Blonde, Resident Evil The Final Chapter, and Ghost in the Shell would have had much bigger grossers, especially North America. The success of that the same thing with Black Panther, relatively speaking. The success of that MCU epic didn't magically turn Pacific Rim Uprising with John Boyega, or even a fantastical A Wrinkle in Time into a hit. So, kind of what we're talking about. The trailer, it's kind of hard to really tell. And I think they got to pull the curtain back more on the second one. Because, do the Avengers need help to defeat Thanos?
Technically, no.
I mean, because they're making it seem like Captain Marvel is, like, uber powerful.
Yeah, but not, I mean...
Do you think Adam Warlock is still coming?
I have no idea.
Because he was in the stinger of Guardians of the Galaxy 2, and we know what, you know, the behind the scenes what's happening in Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
Right.
Because they're going to continue, you know, supposedly with the James Gunn script, but I'm wondering if they're just going to do a Disney thing and just turn Adam Warlock into Captain Marvel, if you get my meaning.
Yeah, I really don't have any clue. It'll be interesting to see what direction it goes.
No, I'm just talking about my backside there. All right.
Yeah, oh yeah, no, I understand that 100%.
All right, what you got next?
Okay, I caught this, and I thought you might find it of interest. Third Kingsman set for November 2019. 20th Century Fox reportedly set a November 8th, 2019 release date for a third film in the Kingsman franchise, reports Exhibitor Relations. No cast or plot details have been revealed, but director Matthew Vaughn already teased the third film earlier this year, saying when they were writing the second film, they already had a third in mind. Vaughn will pen, direct, produce the third entry. It isn't clear if he'll direct as well, though. It's likely. Previous rumor reports have two major new characters joining the fray, a cocky young son of a British duke and an older man. So we don't know a lot yet, but it's already been slated, and given the success of the first two, I won't be surprised to see this, you know, coming about and rolling out into theaters.
Okay, so my second news story we kind of already talked about. Daredevil Season 3 officially set for October 19th. It was rumored, and now it's official, Netflix's highly anticipated third season of Marvel's Daredevil is set to premiere on the service being Netflix, on October 19th. Eric Olson will be the new showrunner, replacing Douglas Petrie and Marco Ramirez, who were co-showrunners on the second season of the series. Following on from the events of The Defenders, Matt Murdock, Charlie Cox, is presumed dead, though he is actually recovering in an unknown location with a nun watching over him and now seems prepared to leave his former lawyer life behind.
Hmm.
So yeah, Daredevil, October 19th.
Just around the corner. That gives me like 3 weeks to get all caught up. I can do it. All right. Chloe Zhao to helm Marvel's Eternals? Filmmaker Chloe Zhao, who helmed one of 2018's most acclaimed films with The Writer, has been set to direct The Eternals at Marvel Studios. Matthew and Ryan Firpo penned the script based on the characters created by Jack Kirby in the mid-1970s, and the Marvel Comics, an alien race called the Celestials, visited the Earth 5 million years ago and performed genetic experiments on the early forms of life, unlocking the ability for superpowered mutations to exist by creating the Eternals and the Deviants in the process. The two became enemies, and things get stranger from there. The story of the film was reportedly centered around Cersei, a fourth-generation member of the group born during the Hyborian Age, who can manipulate cosmic energy to give her virtual immortality and vulnerability and molecular manipulation. Marvel President Kevin Feige will produce.
Yeah, I also heard that they're going to have Feige overlook the X-Men.
Okay.
So that was something that came out. There was a big interview with Iger, the CEO of Disney, because a lot of people, by people I mean shareholders, that are they're nervous and anxious about this streaming service. And not so much that it's going to be any good, but if Disney's going to be doing their own streaming service, they're going to be shutting down a significant revenue stream, and that's licensing.
Right.
Right? Because they're not going to be getting any Netflix money. So now they're going to have to replace that revenue stream with their own content. They're going to be on the streaming service. And so there's a lot of eyeballs that are going to look at what they're going to do, because we were just talking about, Daredevil. You would think all those Marvel shows are going to be going away. And I think Netflix in one way or another has said, there is no more Defenders. That's dead.
Right.
Not that it was a great hit.
Right.
But I did enjoy it. Okay. So this is going to be my last story. And I have to be honest. There's kind of a backstory with this one. So my coworker is a big Game of Thrones fan, Natalie. She went to Ireland and Scotland, I think. I'm not sure. She wanted to visit where they film Game of Thrones, and so there's a fair number of locations where they film Game of Thrones, and so much so that a lot of the people that do the tours for whatever they're doing for Game of Thrones, they were extras on some episodes. And part of the contract, I guess, is that when they shoot there, that that they take locals for the extras and they don't bring in like other extras. So anyways, so she had a wonderful time, but we kind of all read at the same time in the office that HBO's announced that they plan to convert several of their filming locations into tourist attractions. Because when she went, it was mostly boarded up because they didn't want people seeing where they're shooting, because you know, because they're still filming. So, like, there's an iconic location in the show, The Wall, and there's actually, it's actually on the ground in Ireland, and they just green screen, the wall part. But I guess they're, you know, for this tour, they're not dismantling sets as they finish the last season. They're going to keep everything around, and they're just going to be these giant tours. So now she's going to start saving to go back. So, with the final season of big-budget fantasy series having wrapped filming, the network is reportedly considering including the standing sets for iconic locations from the show, such as Winterfell, Castle Black, and King's Landing. In addition, there will likely be a formal studio tour of Linen Mill Studios, which will showcase material from the series spanning all seasons and settings. A 2019 opening is being targeted for locations which will include sets from the show. And to be honest, one of the more famous castles in Game of Thrones, I think one's in Spain, Dragonstone's in Spain, and I think King's Landing is in Croatia, to be honest. So it's not going to be all-inclusive over there in Ireland. All right, we got?
Okay, so being as that was your last story, what do I want to finish up with? I'll go with this one. Redford walks back retirement comments. Acting legend Robert Redford may not be leaving the game after all. 82-year-old Redford will soon be seen in David Lowery's crime comedy The Old Man and the Gun, which is believed to be his final on-screen role following comments back in August in which he indicated he's retiring from acting. I remember when we talked about this. Speaking at the premiere last night, though, he backtracked on those comments and tells Variety, "That was a mistake. I should never have said that. If I'm going to retire, I should just slip quietly away from acting, but I shouldn't be talking about it because I think it draws too much attention in the wrong way. I want to be focused on this film and the cast." So for clarity's sake, is this the final film? Is this the final film? He responded, "I'm not answering that. Keep the mystery alive." And this film opens in cinemas on September 28th. So yeah, I remember that that Netflix show about exploring when you die. I don't remember what the name of it was right off the top of my head. And I think at the time he was talking about retirement, even at that point. So it's interesting. We'll see what happens to Mr. Robert Redford. Well, we can go ahead and wrap it up there.
All right, speaking of wrapping it up, that will be it for this episode of Backseat Box Office. So thank you for listening. The website is backseatproducers.com. Where you can find the latest episode of Backseat Producers, where they talked about Extinction, not the concept in general, but the Netflix movie Extinction. That was episode number 459. The episode before that, they talked about Turbo Kid. So they're with Michael Ironside, or as it says on the website, Michael freaking Ironside. But so you can catch our show and their show on the website or on your most convenient podcast catcher or podcatcher. If you want to leave us a voicemail, the voicemail number for the show is 618-207-4794. So you can go there and leave us a voicemail like Richard or Tad. Hey, we're missing. We'd love to hear from you, Tad.
He's busy. He's got to build that guest house so one of us can go visit.
Yeah, how's that not on HGTV? All right, so other than that, that's going to do it for this episode of Backseat Box Office. So thank you for listening. Take care of yourselves, and we will catch you next time. Art, what do you want to say?
Good night, everybody.